What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex, of MarshMakesArt.com. I change websites every podcast, especially when the podcasts come out so sporadically, sparsely like parsley. how you guys doing? I am doing good. Driving here. Got an early morning drive, and so let's see, 5:30 in the morning. Been on the road for about a half hour. And I got about, an hour or so maybe till I get to my destination, depending on traffic. So I was just praying and stuff. Excuse me. Whoa, that was cool and weird. It looked like a falling star, but like, you know how they like just usually shoot across the sky? This one just looked like it went straight down. I don't know if it was like a reflection on the window, but there's no other reflections on the window like that. Could be though, who knows? This thing just went straight down. Interesting. Anyways. So yeah, just figured I'd do some recording. I got a convention coming up, the only convention of this year. So that's exciting. It's the typical Bing. It's called the Bing Con, like Bing Crosby. but yeah, it's there's like this. I guess it's like an old movie theater, and it's really kind of small. That's in like near where I live. It's sort of near where I live, not even in the same state, but in Massachusetts in Springfield. It's like they do these conventions and just events and stuff. A lot of times to raise money for the actual building, because people want to like restore it and stuff. I mean, it's usable sort of, but the movie theater part isn't. It's like needs work, like a lot of work. So I don't really know the whole thing behind it, but they started out doing the convention in that place, and it came out that it was pretty good, and a lot of people came, but it was really super small. So they've kept it going since then, and but they moved it over to this, it's like a church, some kind of Catholic cathedral or something, but there's a lot more space over there. They have like a rec hall of some sort, I don't know. And so we've had it there, and last year, I've been there, I guess this is the third year. It seems like it's been going on longer for some reason, but I guess not. But this is the third year, and I went, this is like cool because it's like I call it like my home convention. Like I do this one every year, and I did it, from the beginning, which is cool. I mean, it's only been twice that I've gone, but that was it. But I don't know, for some reason that I like it. It's like I don't really think of this as like a big money-making opportunity. I think of it as just like, oh, I get to go hang out with my friends and my family, my comic geek friends and family, and just chill out. And the first year was really good. Like people came, and it was small, but a lot of people were into it, and I actually sold a lot. That's when I was like really doing the toys, pretty much. Focusing on the toy, making toys, and that was really fun. It was super fun, and then the next year last year, I didn't do so well. I came in late, and they ended up adding tables because a bunch of people, you know, didn't register in time, and I was one of those people because it just slipped my mind. But I was like, oh man, is there any way you could get me in? Because this is like, if there's one convention I want to do, it's this one. And, you know, there was like the side room that they put people who didn't register in time in. And it was still like connected to the other room, but like in a way where it just didn't get as much traffic. So that was a little frustrating, and I was a little frustrated because I went in with a good attitude, not like caring that much, but you know, sometimes these conventions can wear down on you, and it's like when you really don't sell anything and nobody seems to care, like sometimes it gets frustrating. But I think I'm going into it with a better attitude this year. Also, this year I get to sit with my friends because I registered in time, and I'll be in the main room. So that's going to be really cool. And I'm just really, I literally am just looking to just have fun with my friends. I really don't even care about selling stuff that much. I mean, obviously you want to sell stuff. I mean, I bring stuff to sell. And if I do, you know, I'll be like excited because it's like, yeah, you know, people care about my stuff, or like, you know, the little extra cash would be nice, you know, and helpful to pay bills, actually. As boring as that sounds, I do need to just pay more bills. There's stuff I'm like behind on and whatnot. So that's cool. It's funny, there was a Facebook thing that I reposted, I think yesterday or whatever, and it was like, it was just this little saying, and it said, what did it say? It was like, my favorite part of growing up is not paying bills. So I don't know. It's true. It's a part that sucks, but I'm learning to rejoice in everything. And I have been, like, it's really cool. Like, I know, you know, last episode of the podcast was like really like religion heavy, but it was just because it's talking about what I'm going through, you know, and where my art is at because of that, you know. And to be honest, since I did that podcast, and I don't know, it's been like a good, I don't know, 3-4 months or something, and I just haven't hardly done anything art-wise or music-wise or anything creative-wise. It's just, it's been a, you know, soul-searching time, you know, and I've been looking into, spent a lot of time, you know, watching or listening to videos and stuff, because when I'm driving, it's good to have something to listen to. And I've been just like looking into all this crazy stuff, like conspiracy stuff, and it's kind of like junk food. It's like fun to take in, and it's interesting. And you know, I don't know what I believe and what I don't believe with that, but I think there is something to a lot of this stuff. I think there's a lot of bones you gotta throw out, you know, less meat and more bones than there is in some other things, but, you know, it's all right. Like, it's like I said, it's like junk food, and at the very least, it's great fodder for stories, for comics, which I think I will be incorporating some of that stuff, because it does. It, like, sets up some interesting dramas that you can kind of explore. And in comics, which is cool, like, in comics, this stuff doesn't seem crazy, you know? Somebody running around in spandex doing crazy things and the government being against you and things like that, you know, in real life seems, you know, like you might want to put that person in the loony bin. although some of that stuff, not the spandex part necessarily, but some of that stuff is very possibly true. But, you know, like the conspiracy stuff. But, you know, in comics, though, it doesn't even seem weird. Like, it's just, like, normal, you know, especially because we're used to it, but also because it's, you know, it's not a realistic, like, even when people draw it realistically, it's still, for some reason, because it's done in an illustrative way, it seems okay. Like, it seems normal, it seems cool, it seems awesome. And it causes you to, like, dream, imagine, and it tells stories that affect you emotionally, sometimes teach you, things like that. And it's really cool. I love it. Comics is such a cool medium. It's ridiculous. Like, so involved a process to make comics, but it's so awesome, you know? And I think that's why we all keep coming back to it, even a lot of us do, at least. Even though it's hard to do and it's hard to make money at, we just keep going. And it's because it's so awesome. It's such an awesome medium. There's nothing like it, you know? Movies are awesome too, but there's some things you can only do in comics. And I really appreciate, like, you know, I still miss the art and story days. And honestly, I listened to a ton of episodes of Lean Into Art. I was a avid fan for a long time. And some of these other, like, comics are great. And, you know, kudos for Rob and for Jersey for, like, just keeping it up and keeping going. They just never stop. And, you know, they're so consistent. And it's so awesome. And I've learned so much from those guys. I was just kind of saying, though, like, I haven't listened to it in a long time. I haven't really listened to anything having to do with art for a while. I've just, like I said, I've been really just spending time trying to, like I said, the conspiracy stuff is kind of what I listen to for junk food type of stuff. But, you know, I've really been seeking God and stuff, and trying to, you know, read his word and pray a lot. And I've just been, like, reconfiguring my whole life to that, you know, rededicating everything. You know, the faith was always there, but sometimes you go through certain times where, you know, you're just kind of cleaning house, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just got to start throwing a bunch of stuff out, like, in your house, you know, just stuff that you keep a lot because you're like, man, maybe one day I'll use it. But sometimes you're like, all right, these things have been sitting here for years and I don't think I'm going to actually use them. So let's give them away to people, throw them out, whatever. That's kind of what I've been doing, like, in my life, you know, just minimalizing and focusing it more on what I believe is important, you know, which is God, family, and then the hobby stuff, you know, obviously work and stuff. But so, and it's a process that is ongoing, but I'm starting to kind of feel ready to get back in the groove with art, and I'm approaching it differently. I'm approaching it not as a business and more as a ministry. But even not so much as a ministry as just something I love to do, which is how I've always approached it. But, like, I'd be more excited if when I'm doing a convention or when I'm putting out some of my work, if it helps somebody in some way, then if it maybe showed them a little bit about how cool God is, you know, because I think he's super awesome. And, you know, I just, you know, when you think something's awesome, you know, even if it's just like a product, you know, like it's like, you know, you come out, you, like a lot of people did with the, like I did too, like, actually I did it this week, you know, I've done it with like the, Pentel pocket brush pen. I've loved that thing, and, you know, I basically sell it without getting any money for it, because it's like, it's such a cool tool, it's fun, and a lot of people do too, and it's become super big, you know. And it's the same thing too, I did it this week. I happened to go to Dick Blick, just because we wanted to ride somewhere. I wasn't looking to get anything, but, you know, it's a nice ride. It's like, I don't know, an hour away from my house, more or less. And it's just, it's a nice ride, and it's like fall, you know, in New England, and fall is where, that's like the best time in New England, because all the leaves are colorful, and it's just so beautiful out, especially on a sunny day. It's like amazing. So, you know, we had to go out kind of that way anyways for something else, but, so we were like, well, let's go all the way over there, you know, even if it's just for the drive. And, you know, we went to the store, obviously, looked around. I figured I'd probably grab a couple random things, you know, just for fun. Nothing, like, too crazy. But what I found was that they have a bunch of stuff that they didn't... Well, not a bunch, but a few things that I've always wanted that they just don't carry in art stores. One of them being the pocket brush. They have that and the refills, so I bought a couple of refills. That's the first time I ever saw those in there. They've been adding stuff as they went. They have a lot more in, like, the graffiti marker type of genre or field or whatever. And so, but what, now what they have, I've always dug their, like, the, you know, store brand illustration markers. But one thing I haven't liked about them is, like, well, it's not that I haven't liked about them, it's just that I love the, what I love about Copics, there's two things that make Copic markers really awesome. One is their colors are really cool, and they have a lot of them. And the other thing is that brush tip that they have. Is really cool. So, but the, you know, no other illustration markers really have that generally. So anyways, you know, now the Dick Blick brand ones do. And to me, their ink is just as good, or whatever you call it. I don't know if you call it ink or what. To me, though, it's just as good as the Copic stuff. So... so that's not where the issue lies, but, you know, I just didn't like the tip as much as I like the brush tip on the Copics. But now the new, there's different kinds of, like, just like Copics, there's a couple different kinds of, you know, markers you can get. Same thing with Dick Blick brand, there's a couple different kinds. But now they have a kind that has that brush tip on it. And it's a dual side thing. One's like a chisel tip, the other side's a brush tip. And so I got three of those, you know, in grayscale. And I'm like super amped, because those are only like $335 marker. Whereas, you know, the Copics are usually around $6. If you go to Michael's, they're like almost $8 for one marker. It's ridiculous. And to me, they're just as good. So I'm so amped that Blick has those, and I'm definitely hoping to invest in some. And the guy at the store, and you know, don't quote me on this because I don't know for sure how this would work. Because the thing is Copics have different colors too. Like, they don't have necessarily 100% analogous colors. But but they have, supposedly the guy at the counter was telling me that you can take the Copic refills and refill these, the Dick Blick ones with the Copic refills. So that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I almost would just, it's cheaper to just buy another marker probably. Well, I guess with the refills, I haven't used Copic refills yet, so I don't know. But I think when you get a refill, you can refill it like maybe 3 times or something. So I don't know. So anyways, there's that. But you know, that the whole point of that is like, if there's something cool that you're into, you know, you can't help but share it. You know, you want to tell people about it. And I told people about it on, you know, online. I showed people, and everybody's like, oh man, I got to go check that out now. You know, that's cool. You know, so, and it's the same thing with God for me. You know, I just, that's kind of my interest now when it comes to, you know, the business side of things. I mean, I do still would love to make a living doing this stuff, but you know, now I look at it as, you know, there's a scripture that says delight in the Lord and he will add all these things to you. I don't know, I have to like memorize some of these scriptures. I'm not good at memorizing scriptures, but I want to try to memorize some, because there's some that just like I'm constantly thinking of, and it would be better if I had the actual words memorized, you know, for me to kind of play it around in my head, almost like a mantra, even though I don't really necessarily believe in mantras, but there is something to it. But anyways, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of, it's like, I guess with my focus with art and stuff, there, it's different, it's prioritized different. It used to be, do what you love, just for the sake of loving it, and then try to build the business around it, because, you know, you feel that's your calling. And, you know, I did want to also make a difference for God back then, too. You know, that was, has always been a big part of my motivation. But now, and even back then, I probably would tell you, you know, that my focus was more on God, but at the same time, you know, it's not always, you go through changes in life, and things, you become better at prioritizing things, I guess, hopefully. You know, and so now it's more like, yeah, do it because you love it, and that is like still the top, you know, because I think if you do it for like, if it's like totally purpose driven, it's like, it loses something, do you know what I mean? Like, like, it doesn't matter what it is, like, even if it's, like, not having to do with God, like, if it's, if, like, you make a comic and you're only making it because you want to push a specific liberal agenda or something, or conservative agenda, it kind of becomes empty. It's like, oh, they're, you know, they're preaching to me, you know. They're they're just trying to push their propaganda through this. Like, it kind of loses heart and soul, you know? But if you're doing it just because you want to make something awesome and you just want to express yourself, I feel like that is where art flourishes, you know? That's where art really comes through. And, you know, it's tough because it's all mixed up. Like, it's all mixed in there. Like, you can't really, like, you want to compartmentalize this stuff, but you can't really, like, because it is, like, you do have a certain purpose you kind of want to put through, or even in just writing a story, like, you know, you might come up with, like, a theme or some kind of something you want to express through the story, and all the different elements of the story work to serve that. And then, you know, you get these authors and they talk about, well, the characters write themselves and stuff like that. And so that's an element too. So it becomes like, it's like, yes, all these things are true, but they all get mixed up in the process, and kind of, it's hard to really keep your finger. You can't really organize it, you know. And if you do have it super organized, it starts to come out kind of flat, you know. I think of that, like, because, like, anybody could sing a song. Some people are just straight up tone deaf and they can't, like, hit notes really. Some people can hit notes, but it doesn't sound that great, you know. And that's what I mean by flat. Like, they don't know how to put a little vibrato in their voice. They don't know how to kind of accentuate notes, you know. Like, you can just sing the straight up note, but if you can kind of go around it a little bit, like, add a little bit of spice in there, it makes it so much better. I don't say this from being able to sing very well. I'm not, like, great at singing, but I know what my tastes are, you know. And, so, you know, it's like, there has to be an element of just enjoying playing with form, playing with color, playing with shape, you know, just playing with what looks cool, you know. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, dynamic poses, interesting paneling, design, having a better design sense within your page layout, things like that, you know, playing with different perspectives. All those things make, you know, yeah, I could tell, you know, I could be like, okay, I want to tell people about God and, like, illustrate, you know, the Gospel of John or something, like, illustrate something from the Bible. Like, that's, like, the obvious thing, you know. And if I did that, I could also just, like, straight up tell the story, you know, kind of talking heads type of thing, show some action, you know. But what if I, like, go in there and, like, do that, you know, illustrate that, but then go in with, like, you know, really crazy perspectives and like, go and change up the paneling and just, I don't know, play with the design of, you know, what you, maybe make it something that you wouldn't typically think of when you think of the Gospels. Like, I don't know, accentuate certain parts, you know, that usually aren't accentuated, you know. And, like, there's an art to it, you know. If you approach things artfully and playfully, then it can become more interesting and fun to read, you know. Whether it doesn't have to be even, like, me illustrating something from the Bible, it can be anything. But if you go at it, you know, like, if you have some kind of political agenda, or you know, maybe it's just an issue that you think is important, you know, if you go at it just for the sake of telling the story, but don't put any artfulness into it, and that's probably not the greatest descriptive word, but I'm having a hard time thinking of a better way. Aesthetics, you know, I don't know. You know, if you don't put that in it, then it lays flat and it's not fun, you know. And stories are good, whether you like, you know, like even the Bible story, like whether you are into that or not, if somebody tells it well, even if you don't believe it, it's still going to be super interesting, you know what I mean? Like, just because stories are cool, you know? So a well-told story is awesome, no matter what it is, even if it's not what you're into. If somebody told me a well-told story about how they became an atheist, I think it would be really cool, you know? And it'd be interesting. It certainly wouldn't agree with it, because I obviously believe in God, but, it's still, that'd be interesting. I'd read that, you know? So, anyways, and another, like, example, I might have brought it up before, I think I have, but, I learned a lot about making, like hip hop songs from one of my favorite artists, current artists. He's from, you know, Connecticut too, which is really cool, but he's like, you know, in the underground realm, like, it's weird, like there's still like a 90s, I don't want to say 90s style, but like how hip hop was so awesome in the 90s, that's still going on. But you don't hear it because you have to dig and search for it. But, like, what you hear is this crazy radio stuff that's just crap rap music, you know? It's just, it is what it is. I mean, I can enjoy it for what it is, but I can only listen to it for so long before I want to, like, bash my head in. And that's probably a product of me being, you know, it's an effect of me being a product of the 90s, I guess, and loving 90s hip-hop, but I don't think of that, you know, new stuff that's like 90s as old school. I'm like, this is just continuing what was awesome back then, and people have, you know, it doesn't sound exactly like the 90s. There's been a lot of evolution, and the people have updated the ways they do things, and there's been a lot of different, just how it was in the 90s, new styles came through, and things changed, and that's how it still is, you know, kind of in the underground movement. So there's a lot of very prominent people who do shows and constantly tour, who kind of came out of that 90s thing, and this one guy, Apathy, he's like, very well known, like, basically, if it was the 90s, he would be one of the top hip-hop guys, easily. His albums are amazing. He comes out with at least one album a year, and every single one knocks it right out of the park, and it's like, I'm so proud, because it's a dude from my state, you know, and he literally puts Connecticut on the map, as they say. And he represents our state. Like, some rappers don't talk about their state a lot. He does. He's literally got the area codes tattooed on his knuckles and stuff. And, like, he always talks about Connecticut. Even though he tours the whole country and sometimes, you know, the world. But he's constantly, like, in California and, you know, everywhere, Rhode Island, whatever, throughout the states. And he's just awesome. And he just comes at it from such a cool way. And he's kind of, like, more in-your-face. It's like a 90s rapper. He's, like, in-your-face, you know, kind of hardcore. But he's got heart, too, at the same time. You know, very similar to the 90s type of vibe. Plenty of swearing and, you know, crazy imagery and whatnot. But he also makes a lot of his beats too, and he's really good at that. And it's just like, he's what I would be if I, like he does it exactly almost how I would like to do it if I wasn't a Christian. In some ways, you know, he's like so close to what I like, where I would be. Anyways, I learned a lot from him, because one thing I don't like in hip-hop a lot of times is love songs. Like, I'm just like, oh, if there's like a lot of love songs on an album, I'm just like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't know why. It's just, hip-hop, in my opinion, tends to be better when it's not love songs. It is what it is. People love love songs. I mean, if it's Stevie Wonder or the Beatles, I'll listen to love songs all day. You know, those are awesome. But in hip-hop, you know, we explore different things, and I think it's interesting. So, but he did an album, which is an amazing album. It's called Wanna Snuggle, and it's funny because, you know, it's called Wanna Snuggle. It's like that, you know, ironic stuff, like, so he, like, the album cover is like a boa constrictor, like, squeezing like a rat, I think it was a rat, right? What was it? Was it a rat? I think it was a rat. So anyways, so it's like, that's, you know, Wanna Snuggle, he's basically killing this rat or whatever. So it's like that thing that, thing, yeah, the ironic thing. But in the album there is like five kind of love songs, but it's funny because he kind of comes at it from, you know, the typical like 90s gangster perspective, which he's not a gangster or anything, but he you know, he does the, you know, rap battle style or whatever, and he pulls no punches, basically. So he does it kind of in like this almost ghetto type of style, which is cool. And the thing is, like, I love all those songs, even though they're love songs, because what he did was he played with form, you know, he made it artful, he made it interesting, you know. It's like, okay, first of all, he came at it from a different perspective, you know, than just like, I love you, like the sappy, like Hallmark card type of thing. That's what the part I don't like. He came at it from like a hip hop perspective, which is really cool. That, and then he plays with the, like, he makes sure to make the lyricism really interesting, you know, like the form of it. And that's what I love about hip-hop. One of the biggest things I love about hip-hop is really cool lyricism. So, and it's hard for me to explain, like, different forms and types of lyricism, but there's so many. And there's so many things you can play around with to make something cool. So, I learned a lot from him, because it's like, making solo songs can be really tough, because it's just like, you know, yeah, I can rap, but you have to, like, I could rap all day long, and I love writing lyrics, but if they're just kind of not structured in an interesting way, or they're not, like, they're just kind of random, and there's, I don't know, like, you can only do that, you can't do that on every track. You gotta, like, switch it up, change up the flow a little bit, make it interesting, and I don't know, it's hard to explain, but that's what I'm just saying, you know, with this comic stuff and all that, like, and, like, having a purpose within what you're writing. And another thing, too, is, you know, you gotta make it artful, make it interesting, but, to complete that thought, but another thing that I hope I remember when I make comics again, is something that Kevin Cross said, which is, you know, even in his comics, like, he's obviously, like, an atheist. He doesn't believe in God, and you know, he's liberal, and he doesn't, you know, he, like, hates a lot of these, like, conservative presidents and this and that. It is what it is. He, you know, that's kind of his perspective. That's cool. You know, everybody has their own opinions and stuff. My opinion's a little bit different than that. I don't really like any of the parties. I used to be pretty strongly conservative, and I kind of lean towards that, but to me, I don't really think any of the government officials are doing anything in our favor. I don't have much faith in our government anymore. But, so it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, they're all, you know, there was a meme or whatever, it was like, they're two wings of the same bird, you know, I think it's true. So anyways, what was I saying? Oh, so there's something that Kevin Cross said, you know, that was interesting, is with his Monkey Mod comic, he's got, you know, a lot of different characters, and they all have different, like, he didn't, even though he's, like, atheist, and he believes in certain things, he has characters who are atheists who are bad guys, and characters who are atheists who are good guys, and he's got characters who are, you know, maybe believe in God or more conservative or whatever, who are bad guys, and some that are good guys. So he's, like, being fair, you know, and I really want to do that as well, you know. I think it's important to be honest, you know. And to explore all the different perspectives, you know. Because if you, like, if I were to make a story and, like, you know, the main character and all the heroes are Christian and, you know, all the bad guys are atheists, that, first of all, would be a very one-dimensional story. Second of all, it would be, like, such a propaganda. Like, who would want to read that? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it would become flat, you know? It would not be interesting. I would be bored writing something like that, you know? So, and it makes it so much more interesting if you have somebody who's on the same team with an opposing view, so they can kind of go back and forth, and then you can let the reader decide what they want to take from it, you know? And then, like, maybe in my letters page or something, I could write, you know, this is kind of what I was thinking, and, you know, here's a little tidbit about how I think God is really cool, and that's kind of what inspired this story, this particular story or whatever. So, you know, I'm still getting my kind of thing out there, but I'm not being, like, crazy preachy with it. And I just think that makes for more interesting of a book. And I think that it's more like somebody who isn't interested in God at all, you know, it kind of makes them think, maybe it'll make them be a little more open to it, you know, well, maybe there's something to it, you know, instead of, like, I went to a Stevie Wonder concert with my wife the other night, and, you know, we were walking in, and there was a guy passing out tracks, you know, and he was like, you know, do you, if you died tonight, do you know where you'd go? You know, that's like a typical question that you ask if you're trying to let, you know, witness on the street about God and stuff. And we were both like, when we heard that, we're like, yes, we know, like, we were excited. We're like, yeah, praise God, you know. And he's like, oh, you're Christians. They're like, yeah, yeah. And it was cool, you know. But then we walked a little further, and there's, like, a guy, and he's like, repent. He's, like, screaming, and he's like, repent from your sin. you know, going to this sinful concert. It's a Stevie Wonder concert about love, which in which he even talked about God in the concert, you know? And it's like, repent! This guy is like, and I'm like, how, that's not helping the cause, dude. Like, it's just annoying. And people are not, you know, gonna respond to that. But if you're just coming up nice, like this other guy was like really nice, and you know, he had a smile on his face, and he was like, just, he'd be happy to sit there and have like a conversation with you, you know? So I don't know. So there's different approaches to things. And I just feel like, you know, there's no reason to try to force people into believing. That wouldn't produce real faith. That would produce this weird fear faith thing that isn't helpful to anybody, you know? and that person, a lot of times people who get into that kind of very like religious like thing, they're the ones who end up like cheating on their wife, or like, you know, I don't know, like some of these Catholic priests and whatnot with the kids and all that, like their faith isn't real, and then they look like big hypocrites because they do something weird, you know, and they go even further than they probably would have gone if they just didn't believe in God, you know, or didn't like try to do religion, I should say. Because in my opinion, people like that don't actually, like, they're not actually real believers. Like, they're just, they're doing religion, and they're not doing it from a genuine place. You know what I mean? Because that kind of activity is not, that's against what we believe, you know, and as what Christians believe. So, like, you know, I just feel like there's a way where you can just be very fair about everything. And if somebody, you know, if somebody wants to, if because I say some things and maybe kind of show my perspective, but in a very fair way, if I do that and then somebody decides, you know, maybe I'll look into this, maybe I do want to explore, at least see, you know, what this guy's talking about, like maybe I want to just, now I'm curious, you know, just out of curiosity, let's kind of check it out, you know. You know, I don't think I'm going to believe in it, but at least, you know, maybe I can at least see where this guy's coming from, you know. Because it's always interesting to look into people's backgrounds, and then, you know, maybe something real will happen, maybe it won't. But it's like, I don't want to force it. I don't think God wants to force these things either. People tend to take religion as God's making his little robots, and that's not what it is. And when people go that route, they get into serious error, and they have, you know, they become hypocrites. And one of the worst things in the world is a hypocrite. And I think we're all kind of hypocritical at times, you know. We're all, to me, humanity, being human, you can't help it. Like, there's a certain amount where we're just not perfect, and we want to try to strive for something good, and then we kind of fall short sometimes, you know, and sometimes we do good at it, sometimes we fall a little short, you know. We're not perfect. I mean, look at, like, Steve Jobs. Like, he was awesome in a lot of ways, but in some ways he was a jerk and not awesome, you know. You know, so we all have faults where, we all have blind spots, you know. So there's that, but if you're like trying to say that you're perfect, and then you're like screwing around with some chick like who's not your wife, now you're like getting into like straight up hypocrite area. And that was, I mean, Jesus was totally not for that, you know, and that was like one of the worst things you could be. And I think anybody would recognize that that's one of the worst things you can be, is a hypocrite. So another thing is being self-righteous, and a lot of religious people end up being that, you know. But like, if you just approach things in a humble way and be fair about what you're trying to talk about, you know, then it's all good. It's copacetic. And you know, the thing is some people are so against the stuff that I believe that, you know, people will probably say messed up stuff to me. And it's like, all right, you know, I know that kind of thing can happen. That's okay. I don't care. You know, I'm just being me and being fair with what I think and believe, you know. And that's all you can ask out of anybody, you know. Just be genuine, you know. So that's my view on all that. But I guess that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about, was being artful, but that ended up being like the theme of this podcast, I guess, being artful about stuff. Being artful about your message maybe will be what I write as the top thing, but I guess what I just wanted to talk about too is a little bit is just coming up to this convention. You know, I printed a bunch of the glyph books out, you know, not a lot, just like 6 or 7 of each. And you know, I'm going to bring those, and that might be the last time I print these little mini comics, because I think I want to move forward from this. I don't know where I want to go, but I want to do comics. I want to make like full, like regular size comics. There's something in me that though that does want to like do like 2 or 3 more of those mini comics. So I'm kind of going back and forth between that, because I always wanted to turn those into a digest, but at the same time, maybe I shouldn't. Because honestly, they're not that great. Like, I mean, they're fun, they're good little comics, but the art is like so subpar, like, because they were all rushed, you know. And they were my first comics, you know, and it's like I could draw better than all those things, even when I made those comics, I could draw better than that. But it was more about trying to get the book out, trying to get the story out, than trying to make pretty pictures for me at that point. So I don't know. This might be the last printing of these books. We'll see. But it's cool, you know. I mean, technically, I've sold a lot of them, you know, because I keep printing them and they keep going away, you know. And I give some away here and there, but, you know, I've sold some through the internet. I mean, it's all so super sparse that, like, you know, I probably lost money more than made money. But, you know, I've sold some to you guys through the internet and, you know, whoever. I mean, not even just people who are listening to this, other people. And then, you know, I've sold them at conventions a little bit, so I've gone through a lot of them, so that's cool, you know. And you know, they've kind of played their role, and I don't know if I'm going to continue with glyph, or I feel like I want to do a lot of different kind of stories, so I'll probably do some glyph and probably some other stuff, and I don't know, we'll see. I'll also probably make like some little like specifically like Bible messages type things, like tracks, like people hand out tracks or whatever. Like, I want to make, you know, like you've probably heard and seen those chick tracks. Like, I won't do it in that style, I'll do it my own kind of way, but I'm thinking about doing that, and I could just throw those out for free or whatever, you know, on my table. I don't know, I think that would be fun. But also I want to do like straight up comics, you know, so. And I still like the painting thing. That was fun, and I'll probably continue with that. I don't know if I'll go back into the sculpting stuff. That was a fun thing to do for a while, like the toys. But I'll probably, if I do that, I'll probably do it in a way where I can, like, do a Kickstarter and kind of have it made. You know, I don't want to make it myself necessarily. I know plenty of people who are really talented in that, so if I could like hire some of them, that would be super rad to do some of that stuff, you know. So maybe with a Kickstarter I could end up doing that. But yeah, I'm still, I mean, I'm trusting in God. I'm waiting like, I'm kind of trying to be sensitive to his leading instead of, like, just trying things. You know me, guys. You know, I'm always back and forth, doing this, doing that, so, you know, we'll see how it all goes. I might still be like that, but I do want to try to be a little more sensitive to God's leading, and I'm approaching this convention as just to have fun and enjoy time with my friends, and, you know, I'm praying that God, you know, helps me to be a blessing to people, you know, as well. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, and I think I might be ready to start doing this podcast more regularly, too. Not necessarily every week, but, you know, I'm getting back into art, so I'm going to be getting back into doing this podcast, I think. So that's it, really, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being patient with me. And I really enjoy being part of the art community, and I've been posting a few more things on social media about art, and you know, my artist buddies have been responding again, so it's like, I feel like I kind of alienated people, but hopefully people will still be cool with me, you know, now if I'm coming back to it a little bit. It's still me, you know, still me just being, trying to just be me, you know. So, I hope you guys have a great week, and I hope you enjoy this, and I'll talk to you probably after the convention, tell you how it went, and, you know, see where we go from there. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you on the next Escape Artist Podcast at marshmakesart.com. Later.